You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. That's why I say amen. Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
shot or no shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download that updated PointsBet app. Get the live bets, the lightning bets, the live same-game parlays. It's a lot of fun, man, to watch a game and have cash rolling, especially if you cash a few tickets. Let's hand it off to our friend, Snorling. What's up, Snorling?
Good morning, boys. Tommy, good to have you in. What a fun hour.
Shay, thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, Shay. He's now got hand warmers, and the pro had to go get him.
No. I didn't ask him to bring these. He brought them to me because he's a wonderful man, and I'm using them.
He's using Callaway mittens with hand warmers in them.
Well, who brought them to him?
The pro.
Yeah.
So,
why
aren't they bringing you this stuff, Cap? It sounds like they're hanging you out.
He doesn't want it because he's a mountain man. He can live on the land by himself.
They offered him to me. I said, no, thank you.
Good. Did Keith bring you a blanket?
He brought me a blanket.
He brought Tommy a blanket.
Yeah, see? What's up with that?
I rejected the
he didn't want it.
Mr. Tough Guy. See, that's what it's about.
Waddle is in mittens, hand warmers.
Yeah.
He's got an Afghan wrapped around
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Like, what are you getting extra points for being a tough guy?
It's cold.
Yeah. Jake's freezing his ass off over there.
All right, let's get to shot or no shot.
All right, here you go, Waddle. Shot or no shot. Cap just wants to pretend he's built for this.
Yes, they're total shot. Like, this is just a big charade for him. Look at me. I can withstand all of the elements.
All right, what else you got?
All right, a story in the Chicago Tribune cites multiple league sources with knowledge of Matt Eberflus's time in Indianapolis as saying that there was a, quote, surprise Eberflus didn't give Roquan Smith $20 million or more, and that Eberflus was extremely high on Roquan in the 2018 draft. So after a 16-tackle, 2 tackles for loss, and an interception in week 3, shot or no shot, the Bears will give Roquan his $20-plus million contract.
No shot. They are not. That's a Ryan Poles decision, not a Matt Eberflus decision. While they have made him a significant offer and they like him, they are not going to break the bank and give him the biggest linebacker contract in history. That's a Poles decision, and it seems like one he's comfortable
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I think that there's a shot that they are still interested in bringing him back at their price.
Agreed.
But Shay, if you mentioned $20 million a year, I think that they were reluctant to do it before. And look, watching the game, the first two games, I thought that Roquan, I don't think he played very well, but he looked like he was uncomfortable in a system that he was getting used to. Thought he played really well in the second half of the Texans game. I thought the best play of the game for him was to stop on 3rd and 1, not the catching the tip ball that was an interception. I thought his play on that, I thought his play over the course of the game became better, and like I said, I thought he was really good in the second half of that game. But I think that they've got a limit as to what they want to offer him.
Lance and Alex at halftime said he's playing okay.
Yeah.
Too many tackles down the field
right.
for them. The second half, I think I was texting with Shay about this. The second half,
yes.
I think he did step up.
Yeah, I thought in the first game against the 49ers, he started slow. He had a bad first half and played better in the second half. I thought he was a non-factor in the Packer game. And again, I mean, look, he's a wonderful player. I just think it takes time for him to get used to what they're asking him to do because he's doing something different in this defense than he did in the last defense.
Agreed.
I think that they've set the number. I don't anticipate they're going to go higher.
All right, boys. Yesterday was NBA Media Day. Arturis Karnisovas met the media and was asked about the status of Lonzo Ball's knee injury and the 4 to 6 week timeline for a reevaluation, but he wouldn't comment on the timeline. He said only, quote, I'm a positive person. Shot or no shot, Lonzo Ball will not be healthy until at least Christmas.
Oh, that's a shot. Yeah, I mean, listen, I would be expecting to play basketball without him for the foreseeable future, and that sucks because from my perspective, he may not be their best player, but you could argue he's one of the straws that stirs the drink. Like, they play up-tempo with him. He can play defense, obviously, at a high level, and he can hit the three at a high percentage. They seem to me to be significantly hindered by his absence last year.
I completely agree with Tom. In fact, I will go as far as to tell you I do not believe you see him before January 1st.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. It is what it is. Now, did he pull a Scottie Pippen, I'm not going to F up my summer by waiting to get the surgery? I don't believe that. I think every time they tried to ramp him up, it got a little better, then it regressed. And finally, from what I heard in early August, he'd gone a few days, it felt good, and then woke up and it started throbbing again. They went, all right, we got to go in and clean
And without him, like, they just don't play the style that Billy wants to play.
Correct.
Right?
He's so good at blowing up screens at the point of the attack. That's where they're really going to miss him.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
Thank you, Scotty.
All right, boys. Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett has come under scrutiny for in-game management. So much so, the Broncos hired Jerry Roseberg as its senior assistant for in-game decision-making. Hackett is not alone, as Dan Campbell has been under fire in Detroit for his decision-making. A couple questionable fourth downs last Sunday. Matt Eberflus was criticized for hanging on to timeouts on Sunday. And then last night, we saw Peyton Manning losing his mind over Brian Daboll choosing not to call timeouts for the Giants at the end of the first half. So my question, shot or no shot, more teams should act like the Broncos and hire assistants for in-game decision-making.
I think that's a shot. I think you should be open to it for sure. I think that, and Sylvie made this point about Hackett, and I think it's very valid. He's trying to do too much. Like, if you're going to be the head coach and the guy calling plays, some guys can do that. Other guys can't. And Hackett has not been able to do that effectively. I don't think it's a sign of weakness or a sign that you're not a good head coach if you have somebody that helps you with those moments. So, I mean, listen, if that's a guy that you think increases your effectiveness, then definitely bring him in.
Couple points on this, and I heard Sylvie say that he's exactly right. Bill Belichick had a guy forever.
Yeah.
I think he just retired the guy who would sit up there and all he
tell
did.
Tell him when to call timeouts.
Bill, take a timeout here. Bill, do not take a timeout here. And Belichick had a direct line to that dude.
Yes.
That's one. Two, we were talking about this at the football after show watching the game, and Wani said that Jimmy Johnson called him and said, hey, are you calling your own defenses as a head coach? Stop. You're a head coach now. You put your coordinator out there. His job is to keep you from scoring as many damn points. And your offensive coordinator tries to score as many damn points. You coach your team. Don't be looking in the play sheet of what we should do defensively. And they go, coach, you want to challenge that?
Right.
Huh? I don't know.
Well, I'm with you. And I think that the setup, I think it's great that Eberflus is the head coach of this team and is not calling defenses.
Agreed. 100%.
And I think the setup is working for him. Now, again, there will be moments where he learns along the way, and it may not be, 100% smooth ride, but I think so far so good, and I think he's got a great feel for the pulse of his team, and I think the setup's working for them.
Agreed. Snore.
All right, the NFL has done away with the Pro Bowl game. Instead, they've created a week-long series of skills competitions that will culminate in a flag football game, and the event will be called the Pro Bowl Games. So, shot or no shot, this event will fix the Pro Bowl.
No shot. It's all stupid, and you could still get hurt. Tommy may remember this. There was a kid,
a running back for the
out of the University of Georgia for New England,
yeah.
Robert Edwards.
Yeah.
They had a flag football game at the Pro Bowl. They decided to do this on the beach. Guess what? He had a non-contact blowout of his knee, and I don't know if he ever played again. He ended his career. It's all stupid. Just announce, guess what? Tom Waddle, you are a Pro Bowler. Congratulations. Here's whatever your bonus is, and this money goes to charity, and you get a cool little trophy, and we fly you to
an awards thing in Hawaii. I mean, I don't mind the skills competition that they have. I think the Pro Bowl's it's obviously it's a sham. I mean, there's nothing appealing about it, or there's been nothing appealing nothing. About it. And by the way, Peyton Manning's production company is actually Omaha Productions is going to be in charge of the whole thing. So you know there's a chance that it could be somewhat creative.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
Well,
yeah.
I think he mentioned on the flag or on the Manning cast last night, he's going to coach the AFC for the flag football game.
I'd be careful, though. Like, you know, I think guys are more prone to get hurt when you're just kind of coasting.
Yeah, screwing around.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's...
Agreed.
Be careful. Be careful out there.
It's the worst all-star event in sports,
it is,
right?
By far. By far.
I would get rid of all of them. I don't think any of them are worthwhile.
By the way, I covered a Pro Bowl. I was there. It's one of the greatest experiences you'll ever have. It's unbelievable.
I covered one in Hawaii.
That's right, yeah.
On NFL Network.
Yeah.
And it was fun for me. But like it's a horse manure game.
Yeah,
I mean all of the fun and the party and leading up to the game is all fabulous, but the game itself is useless.
Take that, fire away, Snore.
All right, one last one I have, Cap. I mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago, but I've been trying to get it into Shot or No Shot for a while now. I saw a recipe for a candy corn old fashioned. They say it's the best fall cocktail you can find. It's basically just an old fashioned, but instead of sugar, it's candy corn dissolved in water. That's what they use for the sugar water. Shot or no shot? This actually sounds good.
No shot.
That's a no shot for me. Yeah. I don't like candy corn, and B,
me either.
You know, the old fashioned's not my.
I like an old fashioned, but I do not like a super sweet old fashioned. My bourbon go-to would be anything that Carmen DeFalco tells me to drink.
Right.
But a candy corn, that sounds horrific.
Yeah, I'm not a candy corn guy, and I'm more of a scotch guy, so it would be a no shot for me. Like, all of the fancy stuff, no thanks. Just give me a nice tall glass of Balvenie, one cube, scotch, I'll take it, 12-year, and I'll be done. Big glass.
Take that.
Four fingers.
All right, thanks, Snorbor. Appreciate it. 312-332-3776. We're going right back to the calls. We got locked and loaded lines. That's what we do here in the morning. Waddle's in for Hoodie. He's in for Waddle with Sylvie this afternoon. We're at the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox on a gorgeous day. A little chilly for Tommy, but it's ready to go for the ESPN Open. We'll be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Rolling on with the great Tom Waddle. I'm David Kaplan. Hoodie will work this afternoon with Sylvie. We have the ESPN Open today out here at the beautiful Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox.
I tell you
what. The sun is up. It's warming up out here.
This is a beautiful property.
Oh,
too.
It's spectacular.
Never been down here.
Me either. It is spectacular. And again, you'll have Carmen York at 10. You will have Meller and Tyler Aki at noon. And then Hoodie and Sylvie at 2 o'clock. And we'll be out on the golf course having some fun today.
So. I would expect Carmen the Good Kid to be rolling in here pretty soon, no?
I would think so. I wouldn't
Good
be shocked.
Good Kid is hitting a little white ball quite well this year.
Oh, I bet he is.
He is hitting it very well this year.
This will be my fifth round now of the year.
Yeah, I'm probably at about round 10, so I'm not playing as much
out.
As I think the Good Kid was telling me the other day. He's played 45 or 50 rounds.
At least.
Striking the golf ball quite well these days.
The Good Kid.
Good Kid's got a nice game. I played with him. Where were we at? Where was the LIV tournament out? It was out at
Rich Harvest Farms.
He hit the ball well out there. I expect him to hit the ball well out here today as well.
There you go. 312-332-3776. Back to the phones, and let's go to Raphael and Joliet. We'll go right there. Hey, Raphael, what's going on there, Buttercup?
Hey, good morning, guys. Nothing much. I wanted to talk or ask you guys about the play calling balance, because isn't conventional wisdom say that like you want to bring your rookie quarterback slowly or your young quarterback slowly? And I think the play calling has been fine. He just has to make the passes that he has. I mean, you think back on like Russell Wilson and then Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers and Seahawks. Obviously, it's a different situation. We don't have a Hall of Fame defense. We're not in a Super Bowl contention. But, I mean, the logic still stands. If your quarterback isn't getting it, if he isn't like Justin Herbert or at this point, then wouldn't it make sense to bring him along slowly? I mean, like Yurko said, you don't have to pay him until his contract runs up, and that's when you truly have to make a decision.
Well, they are so bringing him along slowly, right, aren't they? I mean,
you can't
bring him along anymore slowly.
Can't spoon feed him any more than they are.
Oh, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why open him up to more, like, potential for sacks and interceptions by making him throw, like, 30 or 40 times if that's how you want to call the game?
Well, isn't there a happy medium between 11 and, like, 25?
Well, I think that's what it is right now. I think it's a happy medium. He's not getting attempts because he's choosing to scramble and rush for first downs. But, I mean, he has to hit the passes that are being called now. And then once he shows that, you can call more. That's what I mean by, like, bring him along slowly. Like, you're right, it's really slow right now, but he's struggling at this point. To me, when people say, let's call more pass plays, like, I don't get that at this point because he's not hitting the ones he's hitting now.
Well, I think that there's...
Thank you for the call.
There's time and place, and I keep going back to the same situation at the end of the first half against the Houston Texans where I thought it called for being more aggressive. I don't need them to throw it 45 times. I mean, that's not what I'm suggesting. But at some point, look, this is going to take care of itself. You cannot sustain winning football games throwing it for 80 yards per game in 2022 in the National Football League. So in a lot of ways, if you're looking for more pass attempts, they're coming because it's just going to be a product of how things evolve. Like, I have no doubt about that. Like, you may play a Giants team, and I think the game plan is going to be very conservative again because the Giants struggle to stop the run. I think you can rush their passer. Their offensive line isn't very good. You can get into another one of these phone booth games with the New York Giants and probably come out with a W if you make fewer mistakes than they do. Over the course of a 17-game season, they're going to have to throw it more than 15 times per game.
Is there something in the water in Chicago that we just can't figure out this position?
It's crazy.
Because Arizona, they get Josh Rosen in a year. They go, he sucks, out, and they go get Kyler Murray. They're paying him. He's a pretty solid quarterback. The Chargers, Justin Herbert, we'll get him. He wasn't the number one pick. I think he was sixth overall. There were other dudes that went ahead of him. Buffalo, wasteland. Josh Allen. We figured that one out.
Well, but with Josh Allen, too, like Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts are two guys that you would point to give you hope. Because if you look at their early careers, they struggled. Josh Allen was very raw when he came into the
very
league.
Very raw.
And they were patient with him. They allowed him to make mistakes. The one thing that I'm concerned about with Justin and how they're bringing him along now is if you coach the aggression out of a guy who's been naturally aggressive,
will you ever get
position,
it back?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's a delicate balance. You know this from being a coach. Like, there are two aspects, especially at the highest level. There's talent evaluation and there's talent development.
Correct.
So you've got to identify the right guy, and then you've got to put him in a system where you develop him the right way. So it's a two-pronged approach. Like, listen, this new group, they come in with a clean slate. Like, the sins of the past regime can't be placed on this new regime currently. They're going to swim or sink based on their decisions and how they develop
their
players.
Well, when they cleaned house, they made it about their program.
Listen, they're evaluating. I don't doubt that they are high on Justin, even though that he hasn't played well. I think they're being patient with him. I think they still think he can be a really, really good player. I don't think they're not all in with him. By the same token, they're evaluating him the way they're evaluating the other 52 guys. Like, they're not – just because they didn't draft him doesn't mean that they don't like him, but it also means that if, in fact, they don't like what they see, they're going to be quicker to make a change.
No question.
You know? So, I mean, look, it's an evaluation process. This is professional sports. No one should have their feelings hurt if that's the way they – you know, this thing unwinds.
All right, let's go to Barry in the South Loop. Barry, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
So I want to point out something, right? I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a phenomenon that happens in football sometimes. It's called BQS, and that's battered quarterback syndrome. And I think Justin Fields suffers from that And I think the only way that you can cure that is if you get him a either number one wide receiver that makes coaches lose sleep at night, or at least a safety valve, because that's what people like Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson had. And then if you go back and you look at that 2008 Super Bowl, right, the great Tom Brady, he had people around his feet and his head all day, and he averaged like 5 yards per throw that game. So it's real, and this guy's getting beat up every day. So if you get beat up every Sunday and you don't have a place to go, you know, to give you some relief, you're going to miss a lot of
Barry,
throws.
Though, I got to say this to you. I've gone back and watched the All-22. The guy to my left played a long time in the NFL and college and knows football. Go back and watch the All-22, and I'll give you one example. It's 3rd and 9 against Green Bay at our own 15, 20-yard line. Justin steps back. He looks to the left, and Dante Pettis is wide open. He elects not to throw it. EQ Brown is 4 yards past the corner, waving his arm. Throw me the football. He pumps, decides, nah, I'm not going to throw it,
eventually
and checks it down to David Montgomery for a gain of 5. Punt. He is not hitting open receivers. That's the problem.
Cap, did you see on the 23-yard rush from Sunday that he had 3 receivers wide open for a first down?
He had Equanimeous St. Brown wide open from here to Aurora.
Pettis, EQ, Mooney, all wide open, and Fields just ducks out of it and runs for 23 yards.
You know, Shea, we had Kurt Warner on the afternoon, and like Kurt breaks down the film as well as anyone, and he's like, listen, there are times when you'll make a bad decision but make something out of it. And in that play, I think, what did he run for? He ran for 25 yards.
He ran for the longest run of his career,
but
29.
But the truth is there were several options for him to actually choose in the middle of it all. So, listen, again, I think that there have been too many people making excuses for him. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's all him. Yes, the pass, for whatever reason, the pass protection has been nowhere close to as good as the run blocking. The wide receivers, it's not going to make you forget the group in Miami, no doubt. But when the quarterback isn't seeing things or isn't actually playing well, and there are opportunities and he's not taking advantage of them, I'm not going to make excuses for him just because the guys in front of him and the guys on the flank aren't top-flight guys. Like, I mean, we can have these conversations. More than one thing can be true.
Correct.
At the same time.
He may not have Jamar Chase and Deebo Samuel, but there are dudes open that he's missing.
Like I said, like I would love to have Tyreek Hill on this team, Tyreek Hill. But it doesn't matter if Tyreek Hill is running wide open across the middle of the field.
If you don't throw him the ball.
Right, or it's Dante Pettis.
Correct.
Open is open, regardless of who that guy is.
Completely agree. 312-332-3776. Sherman is in Chatham. Hey, Sherman.
Hey, good morning, guys. And here's my take on this. Trying to assess if Justin Fields is an NFL-ready quarterback with the receiving core that he has is like trying to assess someone's ability to be an executive chef and you give them a hot plate. What I'm hearing, what you guys are talking about to me about this guy's open, that guy's open, those are one-offs. Those are busted coverages from the defense. That's not a guy getting separation. That's not a guy.
Disagree. Disagree. Go back and watch the All-22. Yeah. I'm telling you.
I mean, listen, that's why I'm saying to you, you can have more than one conversation at the same time. You're blaming all of his struggles on a lack of talented wide receivers. And again, I'm telling you, while they don't match up to the Miami Dolphins, open is open.
Correct.
And you just have to call it as you see it. Nobody's panicking. Nobody's giving up on him. But right now he's not playing the position very well. That's period, end of story.
Agreed. Well said.
I'm not looking to replace him. I still have high hopes for him. He's not playing well right now, regardless of the level of skill on the edge.
Okay, 312-332-3776. Hang in there. We're taking calls all morning, but we are going to get an update with Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback in SI.com. He's an Ohio State guy. He has seen Justin his entire career. We'll get his perspective and what he's hearing around the league. That is next.
Don't miss the conversation?
Cap and J-Hood?
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Rolling on the Cap J Hood Morning Show, weekday 7 to 10. Hoodie will be this afternoon with Sylvie. Tommy Waddle is to my left. Jake Cantu to my right. And then you've got Snorling and Merkin.
That's a combo. Strong combo back at the shop.
Snorling and Merkin, warm and cozy in the booth back at State Street, 312-332-3776. We are at the Sanctuary Golf Course for the ESPN 1000 Open, and it's brought to you by Club Hawthorne, Points Bet, great food, great drinks, sports betting, and horse racing only. Club Hawthorne has it all. Our guy, Albert Breer, joins us now. Albert, you are an Ohio State guy. Justin Fields, and I think Tommy put it perfectly, both things can be true. We don't have great offensive personnel, and he has played horrific football. What is your take on Justin so far?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember talking to the Ohio State coaches about him, you know, when he was coming out. And one of the things that constantly came up was he just needs to play more. You know, he needs more snaps. And, you know, I think if they were being selfish about it, they would have said, you know, maybe he could use another year in school, you know, but obviously with the money there and everything else, you know, it's obvious why you would make the decision Justin did to come out. So I think this is always going to take time. And I think, you know, his first year in the league sort of stunted his growth to some degree, just because, you know, they were so in and out with different play callers, with different, you know, with different ways they were running the offense. They yo-yoed him in and out of the lineup that I think when Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy got there, the idea was to sort of slow things down for him and try to build things brick by brick, knowing that it was going to take some time. And so I'm with you guys. I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of there's not a ton around him. You know, you see a lot of quarterbacks going to their second year, and because they're on rookie contracts, their teams will build up around them. And you know, like you see what the Chiefs did for Mahomes when he was younger. You see what the Ravens did for Lamar when he was younger. And so, like, the Bears haven't been able to do that because of all the dead money they're taking on this year. You know, and then obviously I think there's a part of it where he's just got a ways to go.
Albert, are you surprised, though, with that said, that they have been as conservative as they've been through the first three games? I get it. It's a new coaching staff. It's a new front office. They're trying to win and rebuild at the same time, but how does a young quarterback grow if he's not put in position where he can learn from his mistakes?
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. You know, I think there is that sort of fine line that you walk where, you know, look, like for Eberflus and his staff, they have to sell the program, so they have to get guys results, you know? And so every week, like, I think your locker room has to believe, and you understand this, Tom, like, I think every week your locker room has to believe that this is more than just a learning lab. Like, you're trying to give guys the best chance to win every week, which ultimately is going to, you know, help them in their careers and help make them money and everything else. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a really awkward, tricky spot that they're in with the quarterback because, you know, ideally with a young quarterback, when you draft him in the first round, you want to be rolling going into year two where you're able to do things from a personnel standpoint, from a scheme standpoint around him to make him confident. And so you're able to get answers on him faster, you know, and I think in a certain way, you look at like what the Dolphins have done with Tua this year. And I mean, Tua dealt with the same sort of thing his first 2 years in the league where the Dolphins were changing play callers left and right. They were changing offensive systems. And Tua never really felt like the old staff trusted him. And, you know, now they come in with Mike McDaniel, they go get Tyreek Hill, they've built the personnel up around him. And, you know, there's a very defined vision for what they want to be offensively. So there's no mistaking what it's going to be.
And, you know, they're able to build with Tua within that. And so, you know, I think Tua is probably a great example for people in Chicago of kind of the awkward spot the Bears are in with Justin right now and how ideally maybe you come out of it. Because I'll say this, like, it doesn't look like they're going to have great answers on Justin coming out of year two one way or the other. And you need to have those answers by the end of year three, because that's when some of the big decisions make come from a contractual standpoint. And so, you know, I think you just try to get as much growth out of Justin as you can this year, you know, and then you hope that there's going to be opportunity to do more around him next year in 2023, so you're able to get answers on him coming out of that season.
Yeah, there's no question, Albert. Patience is important here, but do you believe they will have patience considering he isn't their draft choice?
It's a great question, because if they're picking really high, that, I mean, that sort of forces the issue, right? And look, like, we don't know what this year's quarterback class is going to look like. You know, if you look at the landscape right now, it looks a lot different than it looked 3 weeks ago.
Right.
A lot of people thought, like, oh, well, there's going to be great depth this year. Tyler Van Dyke at Miami just got benched. You know, Will Levis has been very up and down at Kentucky. Bryce Young threw two picks against Louisiana Monroe a couple weeks ago. And he's not, like, physically what you look for in a franchise quarterback. So, you know, I think the question sort of is going to be based on the opportunities that are in front of the Bears, right? Now, if they're picking fifth or sixth or seventh and there's no great quarterback option there, well then, yeah, you know, you kind of stay the course and you see, you know, what you've got, and you say, okay, like, we're going to get our answers on Justin in 2023. If you have, say, the first pick and there's a great option, like, say, C.J. Stroud or, you know, get Bryce Young, somebody becomes that option for you, well, then it sort of becomes nut-cutting time, you know what I mean? Because
Right. You
never want to be in that position again where you're drafting that high. And if you don't feel 100% confident in somebody like Justin, then, you know, you have to make that decision. That becomes a decision point for you. It's sort of like where Arizona was, you know? When Cliff comes in there, they have the first pick. And, you know, if you're Cliff Kingsbury coming in 2019, you never want to be picking that high again. And there's Kyler Murray sitting there for you, and you're not real sure on Josh Rosen. Well, you go with, you know, your gut in that situation. And so if there's a great quarterback option in front of them in 2023 and Justin doesn't improve over the next 12 or 13 weeks, I could see where that would be a decision point. But that's obviously way down the road, and a lot of things could and will happen between now and then.
Albert, you talk to a lot of people in the National Football League. I do not believe it's sustainable that you could continue to play this way and expect to run for, whether it's 180 2 weeks ago, 280 this week, and not threaten anybody in the passing game. And then you're going to get into games where you got to beat Tua and Miami, Aaron Rodgers, Detroit's averaging 31 points
Buffalo.
A game, Minnesota, Buffalo. These are all on your schedule, and you got a Giants team this weekend that will be starving for a win. I think they're a more talented team than the Bears. What are people in the league saying about this Bears team, albeit that they're 2-1?
Yeah, it's weird. I honestly didn't think of them as a 2-1 team. You just said it. I'm like, oh my God, they are 2-1. You know,
right.
I think most people look at the Bears as a team that's sort of in the position, and I think I've used this example with you guys before, like the 2018 Bills. And if you go back and you look at what the Bills did that year, that was Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's second year in Buffalo. They wanted to establish something in their first year. They make the playoffs, and then they sort of pay in year two for the sins of the Rex Ryan, Doug Whaley era. And they take on a ton of dead money. And that was sort of their year to swallow it, right? And, you know, if you go back and you look at that year, I believe that team started out 2-7. And they finished the year 4-3. And, like, so there was, I think the internal view was, we're program building. You know, we're continuing to program build. And, you know, we're going to take this one year and we're going to kind of swallow everything we need to swallow so we can come out of it with a clean slate, with a full complement of draft picks, and with a clean cap. And that was Josh Allen's rookie year. And so I think that's sort of where the Bears are logistically. Like, and instead of doing that, you know, in year two, like Buffalo did, you're doing it in year one. And so, you know, I think that that it makes sense because they didn't have a first round pick this year. And, you know, like you had an aging roster. And I think you make the argument that maybe the plug was pulled on the aging roster, the team that won 12 games in 2018, a year too late, right? Because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were trying to save their jobs. And so, you know, I think that's sort of how the rest of the league views the Bears as a team right now that's in that transitional year where they're trying to clear the decks and make sure going into 2023, they got that full complement of draft picks and they've got a clean salary cap. And so they may be 2-1 right now, but I don't think very many people think it's going to last based on where their roster is.
Albert, have a great day, man. We'll talk to you next week. Keep up the great work.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the golf.
Thanks, Albert.
Appreciate you. That's Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com. We're going back to your calls, and don't forget, 9 o'clock, Billy Donovan, head basketball coach of your Chicago Bulls, will join the show. Be right back. This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Businesses know it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR planning, and budgeting to identify rising costs, automate business processes, and save money. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need because of NetSuite. See if you qualify for NetSuite's one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/KJM right now. netsuite.com/KJM.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Whoops, whoops, whoops.
Rolling on the Cap J Hood morning show. Tommy Waddle is here. Hoodie will work this afternoon with Sylvie of Carmen Yerk at 10. You have Meller and Tyler Aki coming up at noon.
Carm's
White
here.
Sox baseball tonight. I saw Carm
saw
here.
Saw Carm.
Absolutely. 312-332-3776. Billy Donovan, Bulls coach, will join us at 9 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones. Let's grab Rashad on the south side of our city. Hey, Rashad, what's going on? Rashad?
Hello?
All right, we'll move on from Rashad. We'll go to Birdo in Little Village. Birdo, what's
Birdo
going on?
Birdo hung up too, Cap. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on, Randy. You're better than that.
That's Cap. That's not me, Merck. Listen, I know you don't have any control over whether or not the caller wants to hang up the phone.
That's
or not,
fine. So. That's fine, Cap. Can go take shots.
Let's go to Jason. He's in Niles. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, fellas. I'm actually here, but I went to the game on Sunday, and I'm just getting my voice back now. And I feel like when you go to a game, you lose your voice. It's mostly because your team, you know, they win or whatever. But I lost my voice from yelling at Justin Fields to get rid of the dang ball. I mean, I feel like over and over they had receivers open, and where we were sitting, it was kind of cool to see it from alive. It was my first game this year, but a live perspective to see the receivers being open and him just holding on to the ball. I just over and over is like, dude, just get rid of it. Get rid of it. And I don't know what the difference is between last year and this year with him, because you see that he's capable of making these plays, his receivers. You've seen him throw accurate deep balls and connect with Mooney. I mean, you've seen it happen. So I don't know. There was some talk about, you know, Simeon and stuff after, but that does nothing. And I mean, that's ridiculous. But I was going to ask Tom Waddle, what's your take on what's going on, I guess, between last year and this year? And is he just have the yips or seeing ghosts, or is it, I mean, as a receiver, like, what are you doing going forward to help out your quarterback?
Honestly, it's a little bit of everything. When you're throwing the ball for 78 yards per game, which is 104 yards fewer than the next worst passing attack, which is, by the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mitch.
Yep.
There's
that Mitch is second in the league in most attempts. At least they throw the ball. He's just not delivering.
Well, yeah, Mitch is checking down every time before he even drops back.
He's checking down Charlie.
Yeah. Look, I think there's a lot of issues. First of all, I would preach patience. It's been three games with a new staff and a new system. obviously Justin isn't playing well, and if you choose to make excuses for him, that's fine. The offensive line isn't an elite pass-protecting group. The wide receiving group isn't elite either. There are guys open at times. There is good protection at times. Collectively, it's not the most explosive offense in the National Football League. But again, when you throw for 78 yards per game, there's a number of issues. And right now, your head's in the sand if, in fact, you're not willing to admit that the quarterback isn't playing well.
Well said. 312-332-3776. By the way, I wanted to shout out a great sponsor of ours, Fat Jack. Fat Jack, you get on the Black and Abdallah show.
He's been hot.
He's been rolling. Fat Jack Sports, at Fat Jack Sports on Twitter. He gave out the over yesterday. Cash City. Cash City. That's right.
Okay.
Nice job,
excellent.
Fat Jack.
Yeah.
He's a good man. We are going to talk to Bulls coach Billy Donovan in 2 minutes right here on the Cap J Hood Morning Show. Tommy in for Hoodie, who's working this afternoon. Be right back.